This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
Take your Bibles tonight. We're going to look at chapter 9 of Revelation, and I'm going to reread for you verses 1 and 2 and pick up verse number 3 where we left off last week. This is over-the-top stuff that we're talking about in Revelation right now. And it almost sounds as if though it was the script for an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Because it is just so overwhelming, the things that are going to be happening during this tribulation period. I firmly believe that when the Bible is talking about symbolic things, it gives you clear indication. When Jesus, for example, when Jesus said, "I am the vine and ye are the branches," well, then you know that he's talking symbolically. And it's imperative that when you study the Word of God, you've got to know where the symbolic teaching of Scripture comes forth and then where the literal context is deriving from. And this, I want to make clear, what we're talking about, thus far, nothing has been symbolic. This is literal things that are going to be happening in the tribulation. But we're going to pick up with verse 3 tonight, where we left off last Wednesday. But I think really the place to launch us into verse 3, we have to go back to verse 1 since it's so close and right there at hand. So let's reread those two verses as we prepare to press forward in the study for tonight. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit." That is not Satan. That is talking about the Lord Jesus. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace." Now, I want you to get that in your mind. When that pit is opened up, that's exactly what's coming out. A huge vapor, a great smoke. And the Bible says, because of it, it was so great. "And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." Let me just give you a for instance here. Many of you remember when 9/11 took place and those twin towers came tumbling down, and the ash and debris that were happening because of those buildings disintegrating for miles. That debris was just floating through the air, the ash, the dust, the smoke. Certain volcanoes have had those types of things when it's happened miles and miles, the ash and dust fall. So that just gives you a thimble of what this is talking about. But so you have to picture this now. This is just going on and on forever, almost creating an imitation of a solar eclipse. And then we get into verse number 3 tonight. "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have." Most of you know what a scorpion is, and you know how deadly its sting is. This is where we'll pick up tonight. So many things are happening here, but the next event that takes place is these millions upon millions of locusts that appear. I personally believe that these are going to be demonic locusts. They're not going to be just like a typical locust that you are well familiar with, but I believe these are demonic for several reasons. And this is not symbolized by any means. We continue to connect the dots, and in verse number 4, you see the mission of these locusts that are coming out of this huge furnace, the bottomless pit, the black smoke. But notice verse 4, "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, probably one of the most mind-boggling thing about this aspect is these locusts are coming out of hell, the bottomless pit. I believe that there are two categories that we could talk about: the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, but here tonight, listen, these demonic locusts that are coming out of the bottomless pit, they are actually doing God's bidding. God is allowing them to orchestrate a mission. They are attacking the population of the earth. But no, keeping that in mind, look at it again. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, keep in mind that in the tribulation, God's going to send two witnesses to this earth. From the preaching of the two witnesses, 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel be saved. From their ministry, millions who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel will be saved. They will be saved and sealed. You and I are sealed today in the dispensation of grace. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The word says we are kept. We're sealed until the day of redemption in our hearts. In the tribulation, those who turn to Christ will be sealed, not in their hearts, but in their foreheads. Now, the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene as an imitator of Christ, as an imposter of Christ, he tries to maneuver with this sealing thing as well. But he and his sealing is going to require that people who follow him will be sealed in their foreheads with 666 or in their right hand. All right, so now when you look at this, we know that the seal of righteousness, those who turn to Christ in the tribulation are going to have the seal of God in their foreheads. Let's read it again. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God. That's interesting. In their foreheads. And so these locusts are not permitted to hurt God's people. Yet they're coming out of the bottomless pit. They're coming out of the black smoke. They're coming out of the depths of the bottomless pit. Yet they're not permitted to hurt the people who has God's seal upon them. This is a tormentuous time. And then notice verse number 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. So they're coming out of the bottomless pit. They're erupting out of the smoke. They're coming to torment people of the earth, not God's people, but people of the earth who are obviously left on this earth to go through the duration of the tribulation, who has followed Satan and his cohorts. But look at this. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. So the tormenting of these locusts, these demonic locusts, they're not going to be able to kill these people, but that they should be tormented, these individuals, all over the earth. Look at this, 5 months. So there's going to be a demonic sting, an attack, a brutal attack on these people here. And look at this, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. So this is not symbolic. This is given to John in words at this point where he could understand. And the Holy Spirit is saying the sting of these locusts is going to be that of a scorpion. It's going to be venomous. It's going to be poisonous. It's going to inflict pain. From that will come delusion. It will come a desire to want to die. For 5 months, these locusts are going to be tormenting the people of the earth. Now, verse 6, and those days shall men seek death. It's going to be so horrific and so painful all over the earth. Can you imagine? Because I believe right now in hell, there are people screaming their brains out. It's a tormentuous place. You remember what the rich man said to Abraham? He said, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented in this place. I think there are people that are experiencing all kinds of pain. This rich man that died and went to hell, he had all of his faculties. He had all of his senses. He could see. He could feel. He wanted water to cool his tongue. All of his faculties. And so I believe that the people in hell tonight scream their brains out, begging God, oh God, give me one more chance. Give me 5 more minutes. And I will turn to you. God, you made a believer out of me. I'll call upon your name. I'll worship you. I'll serve you. Give me 5 more minutes. There are people who are in the eternal flames of hell screaming their brains out with that message. There are also people in hell that are experiencing unbelievable pain, agony, and torment. In this situation, in the tribulation, that kind of agony is going on as well. And in those days shall men, verse 6, seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I don't think that I've ever watched one episode all the way through of this program called The Walking Dead. I don't think I've ever seen it. Some people love that show. I love Westerns. I love to watch the Dallas Cowboys. Especially. But, you know, I like real stuff. I like to watch these mysteries and try to figure it out before the end of the show and all this. I love that kind of thing. But I've never watched one episode of this thing called The Walking Dead. But I will tell you, I've seen the commercials and I've seen it advertised. I don't know what a real zombie is, but I will tell you that that show advertises what Hollywood's description of one is. But I want you to picture this. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die. And here's the part about the walking dead. The scripture says, and death shall flee from them. So if a person is in so much pain and agony that they want to die and seek to die, trying to figure a way to end their misery, imagine being engulfed, baptized, immersed in all of this commotion, all of this unbelievable pain and agony, and these scorpions, locust that has the sting of scorpions, is inflicting pain on the population, and people want to die. They're drinking poison. They're reaching for a 357. They're putting it to their brain and blowing the trigger, and nothing happens. Imagine the walking dead. Imagine this. And this is not make-believe. This is going to happen. And then notice this in verse number 7. But the one thing that I want to add to this, for 5 months, that's what's going to be happening. All right. And then in verse number 7, and the shapes, this, it continues to get worse, because the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces, or the faces were as the faces of men. That's why I'm telling you that I believe these are demonic locusts. These are not just little bugs. And then let me tell you this. They had the shapes, notice this, of like unto horses. This is not going to be some little creature like a tadpole in a mud stream. These are going to be vicious, demonic forces that are roaming wild all over the earth. And the Bible gives you a description here. Horrible looking creatures. Let's read verses through 8 through 10 quickly. And they had hair, because this gives you the description. It goes even farther. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So picture these horrible creatures that are demonic locusts coming out of the bottomless pit. In verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. So I'm telling you, these are not going to be little microscopic things. This is some little scorpion that you find in the desert. These are going to be life-size creatures roaming the world on a mission. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. Try to envision this now, trying to get away from something like this. You're wanting to die. You're seeking ways to die. And what you're hearing all around is this roaring, many horses, like they were running to battle all around you. So the psychological aspect of this is going to be torment to us all in itself. And then verse 10, and they had tails likened to scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now think about this. These are demonic locusts whom God has ordained or commissioned or allowed this to happen to the population of the earth. Now, this is where it gets to a place where we have to study the word a little bit more closely. Because verse number 11 says this, and they had a king over them. Think about that. These demonic locusts, they have a leader, they have a ruler, they have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. I want to pause here for a minute and ask them to get Proverbs 30, 27 on the screen for us quickly, and look at this. Pay attention, class. The locusts have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. This is a proverb of Solomon. Now, when we come to this aspect of the tribulation, the locusts, the real locusts that have taken on demonic appearances, they do have a king. Here, Solomon said they don't have a king. But here in Revelation, we clearly read that they do. These locusts, I want you to know, they are led by a satanic angel. This is important. And this satanic angel, he reigns over the abyss itself, the bottomless pit. Now, we know this is not Satan. How do you know that's not the devil? How do you know that's not Satan, preacher? Because here's the thing. Satan does not come from the abyss. This is where you get into some deep study here now. You think about it. We know this is not God. God doesn't come from the abyss. All right? Now, the names of both of these, Apollyon and Abaddon, Both of these names mean, whether it's in Hebrew or Greek, it means the destroyer. That's what it means, the destroyer. Now, verse number 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So the first woe is the fact that these demonic locusts invade the earth. Now, verse 13, this gets worse. In verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Verse 13, okay, so there are more evil spirits that are about ready to be let loose. And as this happens, John, he hears a voice from the golden altar, and it's something to ponder, because both Peter and Jude speak of angels. Listen carefully. They speak of angels who sinned beyond measure and who are right now, I believe, they are imprisoned by God. You remember when Satan led his rebellion in heaven, he led a third of heaven's angels astray with him. I believe that there are some angels within that third that I don't have the adjectives. I don't know how to do it to tell you that they sinned beyond what we read. Satan led a third of them astray. But I believe that they had committed such heinous acts that God, when Satan led a third of them astray, God put some, I think, in the bottomless pit. He imprisoned them, and I think they are there even right now. They will be unleashed. And the reason I believe that, there are two verses. One, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. The word says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Judgment is coming upon this earth. And I think there are some fallen angels that have been placed imprisoned even now. There are demon spirits roaming the earth, and there will be demon spirits that come out of the bottomless pit. But I believe that there are some that has been exclusively in prison that will be unleashed during this time. And then Jude, verse number 6, the word says this, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness until or unto the judgment of the great day. So I don't know how many. I don't know how many that were imprisoned who are being held by the power of God, kept for this particular unbelievable happening on the earth. I don't know how many. What I do know is this, that the devil led a third of heaven's angels astray. That's what I do know. Now look at verse number 14. Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, four of these angels are loosed, I think, to carry out a predetermined plan of God. And I noticed when I was doing the study that they are called the four angels. Now, the mention of the Euphrates, I think, gives a clue as to where they are. And that was very important to me in my study, because I think all of the world powers of Scripture are associated with the Euphrates River and Babylon. So I hope I'm not losing you here. This is a deep book, a deep subject, and a deep place where we are. But these four angels might be the very ones who in times past controlled the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Accretion and Roman empires on Satan's behalf. They could be the very ones, these four angels right here. Let me show you a couple of passages. Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verses 20 through 21. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Nevertheless, think with me now. The river Euphrates is a very prominent place in the scripture. And it is to be, I think, the eastern boundary of the promised land in a coming day. Even though Israel does not occupy all of its land right now, it will one day. But let me show you this passage in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Do you see that? One of the rivers in the Garden of Eden was the Euphrates. And here we find it, it flowed out of the Garden of Eden. And so it was here that Satan, I believe, when he was expelled from the presence of God, when he was expelled from heaven, I personally think that it was probably in this place, the Euphrates, where he, as he was thrown out of heaven, where he landed, I think this is where the origin or where he created the scheme of the fall of man. That's my personal belief and study. I believe that here in this proximity was where the first murder occurred, where Cain killed his brother Abel. And so here's Satan, his top four of the fallen angels. I think they're raging against the earth right now, at this part in the Revelation, with God's permission. It's a mystery of God, which we will talk about in chapter 10. But let's carry on with verse number 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. This means that these demons prepared for a very specific moment. In verse number 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And so these four angels, I think, are going to lead 200 million troops against the earth. That's mind-boggling. In verse number 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. This is where people who are skeptics of the word say, that's impossible, I don't believe in that stuff. That's crazy. That's not going to happen. But according to the word of God, fire, smoke, and brimstone are going to be used to kill a third of the earth's population. In verse number 18, By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with many or with them they do hurt. And that reveals the source of their power. You remember, just like the scripture talked about, how Samson's source, now I know his source of power was God, but the earthly attribute of that, God said, don't cut your hair. Don't let a razor come upon your head. It was the Nazarite vow. Here, the source of power, according to the word of God, is in their tails. Now look at verse number 20. Let's read it again. And the rest of the men, notice this, which were not killed by these plagues. This is, when I read this and when I studied it, this blew my mind. It sort of like reminds me of these people in the latter part of the tribulation who believes the lie of the Antichrist. We'll see that verse. I'm going to give it to you in just a minute. They still, after the two witnesses were killed, they still refused to repent. And it's really the same lineage of people here. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. You would think that somebody in a right opportunity in their right mind, they would repent, but they're not going to be able to. At this point, it's impossible. And the scripture that I leave you with tonight, our time is gone, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to read for you verses number 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, for anybody that rejects the gospel in this life, they've heard it, they've rejected it, they refuse it, they deny it, they mock it. A lot of celebrities are doing that, by the way, right now. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. So, as I preached a message in our annual Bible prophecy sermon series, will there be a second chance for people to be saved after the rapture? Absolutely not. And this is the reason why. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so these people will not repent because they will not be able to repent, because they will be so far deranged and delusioned that they will believe in God's wrath and judgment, the works of the Antichrist. And so I've got a couple of more things that I want to bring out about this chapter before we bring it to a conclusion, but we are out of time for tonight, and so we pick it up again next Wednesday night. But let me conclude with verse 21, and it says this: neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. There are four aspects to this verse. Lord willing, next Wednesday night, we'll conclude with verse 21, and then we'll get into chapter 10. The only thing I can say is what I've been saying for these last couple of weeks as we study a chapter like this, and that is this: thank God for grace. If you're a believer and you know the Lord is your Savior, you don't have any of this to worry about. It's all left up to this world, the Antichrist, the devil, the demons, the fallen angels. And so thank God for his grace and mercy. Amen.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.